Welcome to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets, today featuring her sister, best-selling author, speaker, and holistic physical therapist, Sally Morgan. Are you looking for a deeper connection with your animals, exploring options in alternative healing modalities, searching for training options that you feel good about? Listen now to Sally as she interviews the top experts that answer your questions to help keep your pets naturally healthy.
Hi, hello, and welcome. You're listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Healthy Pets, and I'm your host, Dr. Judy Morgan's sister, Sally Morgan, and I am a physical therapist for pets and people. You can hear Dr. Judy's show every Monday and Tuesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by going to dreamvision7radio.com. Today, I'm here with my guest, Sandra Mendelson, and I met Sandy at a wonderful retreat in Canada where we were with horses who were doing healing work with the humans, and it was an amazing experience, but the most amazing part of the week for me was getting to meet Sandy. And Sandra is a channel of consciousness via the animal world, an animal communicator, an author, and a speaker. She has a role in facilitating deeper understanding between humans and non-humans. And that came about through her work in animal nutrition and human nutrition and her healing work as a certified polychromatic light therapist, an equine photopuncture therapist, and a health coach. Her first book, We Walk Beside You, Animal Messages for an Awakening World, came out in October 2017, and along with the book is a wonderful deck of cards with animal messages for humans. And it has a wonderful ability that you can pick a card every day and have a message for the day, or you can pick one for a week. And I really love these cards, and I think a lot of people would enjoy them. Sandra is also an author. She's written lots of articles about humans and animal well-being. She's a graduate of the University of Pennsylvania, and right now Sandra and her dog, Mr. T, are at work on another book with more messages from the animals. So welcome, Sandra. It's a pleasure to have you here on this show. You're probably the first animal channel that we've talked to. Can you tell us a little bit about when you began communicating with animals? Was it when you were a child?
Sally, thank you for having me, first of all. And I'm glad you asked that question, because most of us think that unless we're aware of an ability from the time we're little, that, you know, we don't have it. And I'm here to tell you that's not true. For me, it began 5 years ago, and any animal communicator will tell you that all humans possess the ability to connect with animals, whether we hear their messages or perceive mm-hmm. that we hear them, feel them in our bodies, see images with our eyes closed, or just have that sense of instant knowing. So, for me, it started with a horse 5 years ago.
And do you have a horse? Was it your own horse?
No, I'm glad, I had the opportunity to work with animals I've loved forever, but I don't come from the horse world. So I think the one thing that I was taught when I began doing body work on horses was you need to be completely in the present moment, totally focused on everything that animal is doing, every twitch of an ear,
yeah,
every blink of an
true.
Eye, or else you can get stepped on or be mm-hmm. humiliated in a worse way. So I was totally present when I heard the first very unglamorous statement, which was, this hay is crap.
Huh. Well, I think a lot of horses might think that and try hard to tell their people.
Yeah.
And what did you do? Did this sound like, you know, something coming out of the walls? Was it a silent message in your head that you wondered about? What was going on when that happened?
Well, we were totally alone. It was 7 degrees, and I'm working on his foot, and I wasn't even looking up at his face at the moment, and it was not subtle. It was a booming, loud voice that, as if someone were yelling in my head. And about 5 minutes later, one of the horse moms came in and announced that there was mold all over the hay.
Oh,
the
wow.
The same horse 2 weeks later was well enough to be lightly ridden, and as you know, a veterinarian or trainer will sometimes administer a light amount of sedative when a horse is coming back from injury so that he or she doesn't overdo it. So typically this horse would eat your hand if you offered up a carrot, and this time he wouldn't touch it. And then I heard that voice again, get me out of here. And a nanosecond later, his trainer came around the corner and overdosed the horse on sedative, and his head almost hit the floor.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so it started like that.
And do you think then, he was asking to leave so that she wouldn't do that, or was he trying to say that he needed to be in a different place?
Well, he was, needed to be in a different place. And sadly, this horse ended up having to be retired early because, let's just say, even with the best intentions, you know, the people that were in charge of his care really only looked at it through a very narrow lens. And so his fetlocks, like, hit the ground kind of thing, and he couldn't be ridden anymore.
No.
You know, just 2 weeks after that, a horse down the road in another barn just completely dismantled my whole understanding of what animals know, their wisdom, how they live. I mean, that he's when I started, after I worked on him, you know, when he's, I put my hands up and he threw his hind legs, his hind quarters up against my hand, then his left shoulder, and I heard, "Why are you wasting your time with these machines? Why don't you run energy? The horses are waiting for you." And then he continued by saying, "When the barn closes at 4 o'clock, we can drop the facade and be our true selves. We hear the birds speak, the plants speak, everything speaks." And that began the journey, really. It took me...
So it was when you heard the second horse that you started to think this was happening more and more.
Well, I mean, he said such powerful things. I went back several times. I mean, I'm so convinced that I was making it up that I said, okay, go back, put your own tail between your legs, be humble. I go into his stall, and he headbutts me all the way out into the aisle, and I hear a voice say, "You bought into the illusion again. We need you." I had no idea what he meant by the illusion. So that began a process over the next 3 years where people would have problems with their horses and bring in every specialist and you know, medical, look at feet, look at saddle, do everything and not know what was wrong. And then I would hear the horse's voice, as you will, in my head, tell me what was going on. And then they were able to solve the problem. So I, as a typically skeptical human, needed 3 years of proof before I would believe some of the more way out there stuff that I was hearing from the horses.
Well, I think animals try every day to communicate with us and give us messages, and we are just not great listeners. And it's so wonderful that they speak to you so clearly and that you can share it with other people. So is what you do considered animal communication then?
Well, also a really good question, because to me, and, you know, fortunately we have growing numbers of animal communicators as people are discovering, as I mentioned, their innate gifts. To me, channeling from animals is just like channeling from spirit on the other side, where, you know, you can just be downloaded with, you know, I hate that word because some people don't know what that really, how that really applies to all of us. We're not computers, sort of. But, you know, the information is just coming through you unprovoked by you. You know, you didn't have an agenda. You didn't even ask a question. So
right.
Other than, you know, what do you want us to know? And at first the animals just kept coming through a la channeling. And then I began more of a back and forth. So asking a question and then getting answers. So they're really, I do both things as far as working with people in a client situation. I like to play where my strengths are, which is I get soul messages from pets to their people. They talk about, you know, lessons in this life, and they say very pointed things about their humans that are usually always beautiful, and what their paths are, other lifetimes they've been together, things like that. But if somebody really wants help with a behavioral problem or a health issue, I refer them to people that I know really specialize in that kind of stuff as animal communicators.
Right. So I know that you consider yourself an animal channel. So can you explain to our listeners what you think the difference is between being an animal communicator and an animal channel? I mean, as you just said, you get to ask questions of animals when you're an animal communicator, but my understanding of channels is that they are listeners and people who give us messages. So can you say more about that?
Well, you know, we need to label things as humans so that we can make things more easily known to us. And sometimes there's a lot of gray zone, you know, as in my case where I could be channeling and then have a more of a back and forth animal communication interaction. And the other thing is also, and I really can't impress this upon people enough, no one gets it all. You know, there's no one animal communicator that gets everything. I certainly don't get everything. And if we listen to the animals at all, you know, we honor that. You know, sometimes you really do need to go to somebody that's just so great at finding a lost pet, you know.
Right.
I think people as well as companies do that. They position themselves as doing everything. And I really believe the animals are trying to show us how we all need each other.
Mm-hmm.
So just to answer your question, it really is, you know, we're the ones that put the label channel or communication on. And I'm just trying to say it as I experienced it. When it's channeling, it's like, oh, my goodness, you know, the stuff's coming through. And, you know, they have information and stories and that they want known by humans. Correcting a lot of our misconceptions is part of it. And mostly the animals come through me because they want to help humans so that we can move through life with more understanding, more joy. And the animals know stuff that we don't.
Yeah, I think you brought up a good point earlier when you were talking about when you do kind of animal communication with people who have a very close connection with their animal. I think that connections we have with our animals are profound and stay with us long after they cross the Rainbow Bridge. And I think that the emotional and soul connection we have with them is easily accessible to both us and somebody who does animal communication or animal channeling. And I think it's really poignant how deep our connections are to animals. So it's no surprise they would have a lot of information to give us.
Yeah, and again, that personal thing. You know, you think about the species that are so close to us. You know, they've incarnated as dogs, cats, horses. They partner in this lifetime with humans. They come through, when they come through with messages, it's very different than what I hear from the reptiles, which are very clear, you know, non-emotional. They're not, they don't live with humans typically, you know, some do. So they offer us their perspective, that, and it's also beautiful. You know, we had no idea how much is out there, but, you know, our companion animals are really so personally connected with us, and we are so physically connected with them that we have
That's
a hard
right.
time when they are no longer in the physical.
Mm-hmm.
Their very presence, you know, we can't touch them anymore. Even if we're super understanding of the process of shedding the shell and that they're always around us, I think there's no way to avoid that feeling of absence, just as when we lose a human. You know,
we
still live in 3D.
Yeah, we are deeply connected with them. So since you heard from all kinds of animals, can you say something about what surprised you from one animal or another? Like, what's some interesting things that you weren't expecting to have an animal tell you?
I think what has come across, and again, a couple things. Number one, you know, we call everything instinct. And of course, a lot, you know, killing for food, you know, they have to stay alive. But so much animal behavior that they have made known to me is by intention. They choose where they fly as birds. They choose what they think about. Animals, and it's one of their main lessons for us, you know, every thought matters because it affects matter. You wouldn't think a camel would choose the way it looks at its life, and all what a camel does is carry stuff all day long. And the camel said, you know, it all depends on what side of the image you focus on. If you focus mm-hmm. on a burden, you will tire. Focus on a possibility for self or others, and you will be energized. So to hear one species after another comes through as to how they focus on the good because more of it will be created, how they focus on what they want for their lives because then it will show up. They do not dwell in the past or in the negative. So that was hugely surprising. And
yeah, that's really profound. It gets us back to that idea of the power of intention. You know, if you create good around your life, you will have a good life. And animals do that too, apparently.
Very much so. And then two other things also kind of in this realm. Number one, they always partner with spirit, whether they call it the greater, the all that is, God. I mean, there's so many different words that the animals use by different species and stuff, they always ask for help. They see everything as a group effort. They never feel alone, and they know that you can never burn out your request amount. You know, you can never ask for too much help. So animals always partner with spirit, especially like in the case of some species like chickens, you know, where, quote, you know, humans do not understand or embrace chicken consciousness yet. We use them for every single thing, and I won't get into the details because we don't want to go negative. But when they say, if we couldn't partner with spirit, we couldn't go on. We have to see our entire lives now as serving a bigger purpose for our soul, which is very tragic because they're utterly joyless, you know, living in a factory and the kind of lives they live. But, you know, you have to think of how profound that is, that, you know, that's how they go on, by connecting with something greater than themselves.
Well, and I think the chickens' intention is helping, because there are more and more people keeping chickens at their homes or outside of small apartments in Brooklyn, and chickens are becoming more like pets for a lot of people. So I think their lives are changing, and even to the point that Frank Perdue has a commercial on TV proudly showing his farm-raised free-range chickens. So I think that, you know, we can take that as a lesson, that the animal's intention does come to fruition, as impossible as it seems, because chickens are in a revolution, I think.
Well, you know, you just touched on the next point that comes from the animals that is so hopeful and beautiful. Because animals communicate with each other through the thought stream, they hear our thoughts as well. They have come through over and over again, as recently as 2 days ago, talking about people waking up and how breathtaking it is, because they know what's going on in the minds of humans across the globe, especially the birds, because they are the great communicators. As they say, there's no fly zone. So they are so, what did they say to me the other day? You know, in the churches, in the schools, they said, please let people know every prayer, every meditation, every intention and loving action. Every time they choose kindness and love, humans are heard by animals. That this waking up is, you know, we are shifting the vibration of the planet. And they said in the churches, in the schools, they are being felt across religions, countries, genders, and generations. We birds know, because we are the global communication system. So they keep saying it's so much more beautiful than you humans know, because all you do is look at actions, and we're telling you, we see what's going on in the minds, and that comes first.
Right.
So, yeah, they are such energy beings. They read energy fields. They tune into the energy of a situation, you know. So we humans always put accomplishment first, and animals put energy first. So if the energy is off, the accomplishment will be too. So there's a lot to be learned from them about, you know, timing and energy. So
I think that brings us to a really good point, too. I know from my work with horses, and you might, too, from your work with animals, that they really are energetic beings. And a big part of working with difficult dogs or nervous horses or shy cats has to do with being able to tap into your own energy and adjust it to be at an energy that the animal wants to be with you and work with you, and you understand each other. And I think that's a hard idea for people to get sometimes.
It's the crux of everything. And you know what? I am learning this so very much. You know, even when you know, okay, it's all about, what am I putting out? Where am I grounded? Am I calm? Am I in my heart space? You know, the places you need to connect with animals. And we humans, because we live in the life of the mind, where we can always be beating ourselves up and trying to please or accomplish, that can really rile you up, and it can make for very, very tense energy. So we have, if you will, quite a challenge before us to keep letting it go, letting all that stuff go. It never just goes away. You know, the beliefs and the stresses and all that stuff. And the animals are resting in that place that where they're asking us to meet them And it does.
Well, I think that's why we're drawn to the animals, because they're in that energetic place and they do help us calm down and relax and breathe and get in touch with the true inner soul of each of us. And I think that's one reason we love them so much.
Mm-hmm. Because you know what they say, that's really who we are inside.
Right, and they can see
without,
that.
Yeah, without the beliefs and without energies, you know, that may throw us off our game, you know, things that are going on around us. So, you know, when you as a human are trying to shift and society around you is so stressed out, you know, you're really trying to step out of that. And where you, when you reach your place, that's where the animals are. When you go, when you exhale, and you finally feel that in the moment, everything is well, everything is fine, kind of thing.
Yeah, well, and what a profound moment that is, that moment of deep connection with your animal when everything is fine, and you're fine in that moment, and so is your animal. And in that moment, you're connected to, as you said, the greater one, the all that is, however a person wants mm-hmm. to coin it, but it's an amazing, incredible feeling. And I think for a lot of people, especially with senior pets, you start to find that space more and more because they need you more and you connect with them more during their more intricate care. And it brings you to a very deep place within yourself, knowing that your time with them is limited.
Yeah, I mean, the whole process of what we call aging, you know, the animals know that their bodies take a hit and they try to slow it down and have softer thoughts and softer movements. And they rest, and this is their advice for us, to spend more time noticing what we missed before. You know, we're always racing and achieving for that first 40 or 50 years of our lives, and then to try to switch into the latter years. Like, the animals don't run as much, you know, they can't. But they're experiencing other parts of life that they missed when they were always running. And they're asking us to do that too.
Well, we need to take a break now to hear from our sponsors, but we'll be back in just a few minutes. This is, again, Dr. Judy Morgan's sister, Sally Morgan, and I'm here with my guest, Sandra Mendelson, and Animal Channel. And we'll be right back. Thanks for joining us.
Interested in learning more? Visit physical therapist Sally Morgan's website at sallymorganpt.com, where you will find details about her upcoming speaking engagements, craniosacral therapy, and Tellington T-Touch offerings, as well as information about holistic care for animals. Join the mailing list today and be the first to learn about upcoming events and special offers. Sally Morgan is a best-selling author, and her book, Dances of the Heart, Connecting with Animals, details her journey of learning to listen to animals. Her unique set of animal connection cards offers 52 activities to enhance your relationships with the animals in your life, and she suggests that you ask your pet to choose a card each week. Both Sally's book and her cards are available on Amazon and her website, sallymorganpt.com. Join Sally Morgan PT CST Daily on Facebook for conversations with a corgi, and visit YouTube for past episodes as well as Sally's TED Talk. When it comes to our pet's health, you can never be too careful. We invest significant time in ensuring that they have long and happy lives, but it's important to invest the same dedication into our own longevity. The key active ingredient in Dr. Morgan's wellness formula, pure New Zealand deer antler velvet, is now available as a standalone human-grade product. Life Deer Antler Velvet is a whole food supplement rich in calcium and collagen to support healthy joints and strong bones. Our products prioritize purity, ethical harvesting, and quality sourcing above all else. Visit DAVLife.com to learn more and order your first bottle today.
Tune in to world-renowned author, speaker, and holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy Morgan, and now radio host of Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Monday and Tuesday, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Not sure which vaccinations should be given or how often? Not sure which food is best for your individual pet? Find out the answers to your questions in this weekly show, where Dr. Judy interviews top experts and showcases the latest products that will help your pets stay naturally healthy.
Does your dog have bad breath? Tired of spending money on expensive dental procedures? Try out Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops today and save money while maintaining your pet's oral health. With New Zealand deer antler velvet as the primary ingredient, Dr. Morgan's dental drops are effective for treating stomatitis, gingivitis, and ulcers. You can purchase Dr. Morgan's dental drops directly from Amazon Prime or from her website, www.drjudymorgan.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Hi, this is Sally Morgan, Dr. Judy Morgan's sister, and welcome back. You're listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on DreamVision7Radio.com. And I'm your host, holistic physical therapist for pets and people, Sally Morgan. And we're here with Sandy Mendelson. And she is a friend of mine who has written a book called We Walk Beside You, Animal Messages for an Awakening World. And we've been talking about her work channeling animals. And so, Sandy, can you tell me why you think animal messages can be so helpful for humans?
Oh, yeah, I've got 10 answers right off the top of the bat. You know, even our beautiful gurus, you know, leaders that we follow spiritually, they're still in the human experience. Animals come from a different place, you know, where we live in the life of the mind. They also use both their 5 senses and their 6th sense at the same time. So they perceive things very differently. For example, as a, you know, squirrel, what I'm about to say, I have heard from many, many species. The number one, they all see and feel this grid, which we call the web of life or the field that connects all living things. Only humans cannot see it.
Right.
So
well,
when you, yeah.
They've been researching that, you know, I think quite a few people have written books about that, including Lynn McTaggart and some of the other, Bruce Lipton, and a lot of people are starting to understand this, but you say animals already know that.
Right, so since all these tests that are being done and studies by people like Bruce Lipton that shows how our thoughts can affect even like in the movie I Am, the bacteria in yogurt respond to our thoughts.
Yep.
When we're just sitting next to it. So imagine if you can actually see your thought traveling through this web and how it instantly affects something else. You can see the process. We might choose very different behavior, and the animals can see that web, and the knowingness that they can see all the time how connected they are to other things, where all other beings. Well, we have to try to know it in our head. Number two, they communicate with each other through a stream of thought and energy. Yes, animals communicate physically and verbally. But most of their communicating, as they have told me, is through the thought stream. So even when they are physically separated, they are always connected. So they don't have those experiences between seeing that grid and then communicating through this web, this thought stream. They never feel isolated and alone.
That gets back to Rupert Sheldrake's idea of the overlapping morphic fields between pets and their owners that just get stretched and stretched as you're further away, but you're still connected.
Yeah. That's a whole nother, yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, what animals have told me, you know, people have said, how come that kitten came running right out of the shelter up to my daughter? How did that kitten know that that was her person? And I have recently had several animals tell me that that you have ever loved, all the people or the animals you've ever loved, remain a part of you in your energy field and are carried and shine from you, and they're carried forward over time. You might say, for us, it's like a bell calling us home or following the North Star. So for all the people that have a pet that they know they have been with before, and you wonder, how did that pet find you again? My dog had told me I had to tap into your energy field and find a way to get me there. But that was too vague for me. But, you know, now that I'm starting to hear it from other species, again, it's all about energy and how we really are never separate, you know. So
I mean, I think it's no accident that I had a moose come to my backyard to die in peace. He was really suffering, and I do think that they can feel the energy from people, and they make choices, wild animals as much as the kitten running to the person in the shelter, about where they're going to be and where they're safe and where they're not. And, you know, maybe they're unwell and they know their time is limited and they walk out onto the highway one night. Mm-hmm. So I think they do make choices and
they do
know the big picture.
I saw a dog do that when I was in October. I was in North Carolina, four-lane highway. And I watched a dog so quickly just literally walk into traffic and get hit by the hind wheels of a van and was out.
Oh,
it was so intentional. It was tragic to watch. So, yeah. So moving on to a little happier stuff now. this one, I think, is absolutely huge for us humans. Animals don't identify with their bodies. They care for them, and they see them as a suit covering their internal light. But they know that it's just a shell, that the light within is what matters. Can you imagine spending your entire life never once looking in a mirror? How different our perspective would be and our focus, and how much less self-attack, certainly as women, we would be engaged in if the external never mattered.
Well, and I like how you stated that the external is just a covering for what's inside of you, because so many of us think our dogs are cute or our cats are beautiful or our horses are lovely to watch when they're trotting. But really, you know, there's that old idea that, you know, what is on the inside shines out through that outside. And, you know, we may be drawn to our animals by their cuteness and then we fall in love with them. And that gets back to something you said earlier. I was thinking that if every animal we've ever been with has traveled with us even now, how lucky I am to be with some of the wonderful animals I've had in my life, to know that part of me is Comet Corgi, who was an incredible, amazing healer, and part of me is my horse Burgers, who had so much wisdom. I mean, I think that brings a lot of relief to pet owners to know that, or pet guardians, that their animals are still with them in a deep spiritual way.
That's beautifully put. I mean, embracing the fact that even if we can't see it, all those animals you mentioned are now part of your energy field. It is, I like the way you said that, and it's true. you know, then there.
And the animal told you that. That makes it right. That makes it, like, you can't deny it. If the animal said it, I think it's true.
I do, too, because I couldn't make this stuff up. You know, if I sit down and go, okay, I'm going to write, nothing comes out. Well, when they're ready to speak, I'm like, uh-oh, I think I need to get the pen. And, you know, I'll write it down. I'll go to sleep looking and wake up in the morning and go, gee, I wonder what Santa Claus brought. And I look down at the page. I'm like, whoa. There are other things, you know,
what other perspectives have they given us that you think people really need to hear?
Well, you know, they always drill it down to the issue of love, especially self-love, because we recited to ourselves, I am love, love is all that matters. But what animals are taught by their parents from birth is self-love. I had an orangutan say to me, I teach my baby as I love a tree, I love me. They learn this way of love in regard to everything.
So oh, that's animals, beautiful. I wish some human mothers could do the same, and lots of them do.
But, you know, that's what I said to a horse when she said she was pregnant, and she said, I send my baby healing frequencies. And I said, oh, Prussia, you're such a, I wish human mothers could be like that. She said, but they don't love themselves. I mean, I couldn't believe that was, it always comes back to self-love.
That's a lot of wisdom there, that you can't love others until you love yourself, and that is such a hard lesson, and clearly the animals have mastered that lesson.
That's why I think they are coming through with so much. They really do understand how complicated things are for us humans, living in the life of the mind, being taught what we're taught, or not taught, what we haven't been taught. You know, they really feel for us. other things, you know, such as experiencing themselves and others, they don't judge and they don't compare. There's no you versus me otherness. You know, one is good, one is bad.
Well, I think that's a hard thing for people to understand. Having worked with so many horse people, they think that horses are jealous of other horses' accomplishments, or that this horse has turned out with that mare and theirs is with another pasture maid. So say something more about that, because I think that's something that is hard for people to see, you know, or with their dog being jealous of the other dog who's on mom's lap and that sort of thing.
Wow. I think now we've hit on the number one principle that every animal, it's almost like I should put this into the beginning of every conversation. Every single animal on this planet is a unique soul at a different place of evolution, on its own path of evolution. Therefore, the ones that have come forward first are clearly older souls. You know, and they've even said to me, not every animal will talk to you or other people. You know, some are just, if you will, I hate this expression, common. They don't have the curiosity. They're not there yet from a spiritual evolutionary perspective. So you will see horses that can bicker like humans. You can see some jealousy behavior. You know, I am sharing the messages from animal consciousness, which is where we're all trying to get. And many, many more, it seems many more animals are already there, but many are not. As Mr. T, my dog, says, sometimes you will see a dog that just barks and barks, and there's nothing you can do. You just have to love them and accept them for where they are on their path. So, you know, sometimes, yes, we are really missing the message, and we're putting our human behaviors and values onto our animals, saying, oh, no, he wants to be here.
Right.
But other times, those animals, that's just really vibrationally where they're at. They want to be the only one. Yeah. So we all have to remember that don't make any, you know, broad brushstroke assumptions that each soul is really unique. And so you may have one dog that just blows your mind and another dog that's just teaching you patience and, you know, is just where he's at, a simpler being, if you will.
That's true. I think for people, they get one pet after the next, and they're always, nothing will ever be as great as the first pet. Somebody once said to me, oh, your next dog will be wonderful in a new way. And it's true. They all are wonderful in their own way. And for some people, getting a dog that's difficult can be the way that opens the world to them to things like animal communication or Reiki for their pet or, you know, body work for their horse or looking at a different way of riding. I think that sometimes the difficulties turn out to be some of our greatest accomplishments.
Beautifully put. That is so, I mean, forgive me, it sounds like I'm judging. I'm just so moved by the way you put that because it's really, really true. You know, whether it seems easy or whether it's more challenging, it's always a lesson. And I've noticed that very thing that Mr. T, you know, he had his piece to say for the book. And for most of the time, I watch him watching me. You know, he's really made this about me. And other people I know really are learning cooperation, nurturing, by being, you know, patience, the whole thing. And as you said, getting into other modalities because they have a pet that is going, that has so many physical and or emotional challenges. So you're right, they're always lessons that they...
Tell us about Mr. T. How did he get his name? How did you find him? And your first book here that I have, Tristan, gets to represent all the dogs. And those who don't know, Tristan is my dog. So let's talk about your dog and my dog for a minute.
Oh, let's do that. You know, I had had a Pomeranian for 16 years, and it had been 6 years. There was a dog in the interim that my ex-fiancé insisted on keeping, and that was really okay. And I moved to Florida, and I'm working at rescues. I'm like, what is wrong with me? Why can't I bring myself to adopt one of these dogs? And I didn't know why. And I saw this dog online, and all the other dogs were listed for $250 to $350, and this guy only wanted $25 for this dog. So my first thought was, what's wrong with the dog?
We're going to have to take another break for our sponsors now, and then we'll hear more about how Sandy connected with Mr. T. And you are now listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets with your host, Sally Morgan, Dr. Judy Morgan's sister, on DreamVision7Radio.com. We'll be right back.
Interested in learning more? Visit physical therapist Sally Morgan's website at sallymorganpt.com, where you will find details about her upcoming speaking engagements, craniosacral therapy, and Tellington T-Touch offerings, as well as information about holistic care for animals. Join the mailing list today and be the first to learn about upcoming events and special offers. Sally Morgan is a best-selling author, and her book, Dances of the Heart, Connecting with Animals, details her journey of learning to listen to animals. Her unique set of animal connection cards offers 52 activities to enhance your relationships with the animals in your life, and she suggests that you ask your pet to choose a card each week. Both Sally's book and her cards are available on Amazon and her website, sallymorganpt.com. Join Sally Morgan PT CST Daily on Facebook for conversations with a corgi, and visit YouTube for past episodes as well as Sally's TED Talk.
When it comes to our pets' health, you can never be too careful. We invest significant time in ensuring that they have long and happy lives, but it's important to invest the same dedication into our own longevity. The key active ingredient in Dr. Morgan's wellness formula, Pure New Zealand Deer Antler Velvet, is now available as a standalone human-grade product. Life Deer Antler Velvet is a whole food supplement rich in calcium and collagen to support healthy joints and strong bones. Our products prioritize purity, ethical harvesting, and quality sourcing above all else. Visit DAVLife.com to learn more and order your first bottle today.
Tune in to world-renowned author, speaker, and holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy Morgan, and now radio host of Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Monday and Tuesday, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Not sure which vaccinations should be given or how often? Not sure which food is best for your individual pet? Find out the answers to your questions in this weekly show, where Dr. Judy interviews top experts and showcases the latest products that will help your pets stay naturally healthy.
Does your dog have bad breath? Tired of spending money on expensive dental procedures? Try out Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops today and save money while maintaining your pet's oral health. With New Zealand Deer Antler Velvet as the primary ingredient, Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops are effective for treating stomatitis, gingivitis, and ulcers. You can purchase Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops directly from Amazon Prime or from her website, www.drjudymorgan.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets, and I'm holistic physical therapist for pets and people and Dr. Judy's sister, Sally Morgan. And I'm here with my guest today, Sandra Mendelson, who is an animal channel. And she was just telling us about how she came to be with her dog, Mr. T.
Yes. So I saw him online, and I didn't understand why he was so much less expensive than all the other dogs. And I spoke to the young man that found Mr. T on the side of the road. His voice cracked as he was fighting back tears, and he said, "He's just such a special dog. I wanted to make sure the right person got him and that money didn't stand in the way." So I drove to Tampa, 3 hours away, to get him, and he trots down the... Well, first he sent me a picture of him, and I look at the picture and I hear in my head, "What took you so long? We have work to do."
So how long ago did you get him? Had you heard from the horse at that point?
I had heard some, but not the major downloads that started the writing, the real writing of the book. So mm-hmm. I had Mr. T. I got him in February 2 years ago, and I go to get him, and he trots down the driveway, licks me on the nose. We go upstairs to exchange some information, and he falls asleep with his head on my leg. Mm-hmm. The whole drive home, I didn't put on any noise. I didn't speak. He was just there riding shotgun, smiling at me, smiling the entire ride home. And, you know, I had had a black, he is small and black, and I had had that black Pomeranian Nika, who was like part of my body for 16 years. And there was, I kept accidentally almost calling him Nin, and, you know, the N for Nika would come out. And other people that met him would go, "It's Nin," even though he looks very different. but it really was such a kismet kind of a thing. You know, when it's your soul pet, there is this calm that you just, this rightness that requires no words, and you have to give in to your knowing, even if you're not sure what your knowing is. You just go, ah.
Boy, that's the truth. Every animal I've got, there's been some initial, like, oh, I don't know if this feels right. It's not the profound, like, you know, vision of romantic love running through a field and you embrace. It's always sort of like, when I got Tristan, I was like, he is such a small corgi. I don't know. And Comet was in the kitchen with this guy's 10 small corgis towering over them like a giant. And I thought, I don't know. But then when he told me that Tristan's birthday was the same day as my dear friend, I knew immediately that he was my dog. So
that's interesting. But remember, it's all of our hesitations, our fears come in and go, I'm not sure. And we look at this, and I'm doing the same thing right now.
That's so true, because Tristan had been adopted that morning, and the people had brought him back. And I'm sure if I were more with it that evening, because it was Christmas Eve and very busy, I would have heard him saying, do you know I almost got adopted by somebody else? Now you're finally here. Why weren't you here yesterday?
But this is a very typical human trait. You know, I just decided for the first time I'm going to go buy a place. And the first place she showed me reminds me of the wedding dress. The first wedding dress was the white one, the right one. I walked into this place and went home. And then you bring in all your doubts and you check out all these other ones. And then you're like, but it's my knowing. My knowing says yes.
Right.
So we humans are animals. That's Mr. T. One of the things he's so emphatic about as dogs are here to help us trust our inner knowing. He says they are great cheerleaders if we would just give them and ourselves a chance. So, and I didn't name him. I would have pulled some crazy new age name, and he looked at me and goes, like, don't even bother, and do not insult me with a toy. So he was very, very clear from the beginning, my name is Mr. T, and I don't play with toys.
So does he have a role in your animal channeling work, do you think, or are you guys just comrades and companions?
Well, he played a very big role. He's, I think, all of chapter four in the first book. And I almost feel like I've disappointed him a little bit, because his passion is getting through to young children and inspiring them to tap into their own abilities, which they really have not yet covered over, to connect with animals. That is Mr. T's passion, and he is waiting for me. You know, he said, I think it's important, and I could come too if they let me. And we could go around the room and ask them what they think I'm saying, and I could start with easy things like, hello, my name is Mr. T. I like you. Please pet me. And I think you should ask the other animals what they want to say to children, because it would be important. And I sat down, this is over a year ago already, and over 12 animals came through immediately with messages for young children.
Oh, that's so important to reach children, and they're so unskeptical when they're young.
Yeah, and I think that's really what he's waiting for, is for me to get in front of them. I've been busy bringing through more messages, not just about two small children, about teenagers, four mothers, then about aging. You know, it's hard for me to figure out where to put myself, because the animals are sharing such wonderful stuff. But Mr. T is patiently, I believe, waiting for me to go get in front of kids, because he's great with them.
Well, and he's a therapy dog too, isn't he? He would be great in a reading program where you could have some kind of a book about animal communication or animals talking to people. There's so many that I can think of already. The one about the animals peaking on Christmas, and that would open the discussion.
That's a great idea, Sally. Maybe that is what I should be doing right now.
And he would look so cute in red and green, because he's a cute little black fluffy thing.
That's a great idea. So, yeah, he's waiting. He's waiting for me, and, you know, time's a-wasting. So, you know, that's thank you for that.
Well, I can totally see him working with children, and I think it's great that he's giving you the time to figure that out yourself, to find a way for him to do that.
It's fun, because some readers have said, you know, you should try daycare centers, because then the teachers can ask, the people can ask the parents for permission, or go to the Montessori schools, because they're so much more open and flexible with their curriculum. Mm. You know, they were trying to give me hints and tips to make it easier to get in there, just get in front of kids. I had tried it once, and it was probably not the right place because the children only spent a couple of days there. They had been, you know, taken from their parents in really tragic situations. So we need continuity. Kids that, you know, want to hear from the animals and want to try it for themselves. Because I had a horse tell me, you know, it comes down to the parents allowing, like the parents saying, what do you think our dog is saying right now? What do you think, you know, what does he want right now? What do you think that flower is saying? Because the more the kids practice, as this horse told me, the better they're going to get at this.
It's the truth.
And it means less, a little bit, the horse was like, a little time needs to be directed away from technology and back to teaching them that what is taught was make-believe, meaning that all things communicate, is really real.
Well, and animals really are a connection with nature, and as you pointed out, so many children are losing that connection because of technology, and they don't get outside and play like we did when we were younger.
Yep, you got it. So, thanks.
So how
I know
can
what
a
I really
person,
need to do. What?
How can a person in their own life learn to pay attention to the guidance from their own animals or from animals in the world around them?
Well, I post a blog post, How to Begin Connecting with Animals, so people could just go to the blog on my website to start with that.
And what is your web address?
It's just smendelson.com, and just go into the Animals Are Talking blog. And, you know, the most important thing is, and the tips are in there about putting your hand on your heart, and Sally, you know that well, to get into your heart space because that's where the animals are, and get out of the chatter in your mind and the to-dos and the earbuds, definitely, and the cell phone. Need to stay out of the picture and just be totally present with your animal, sharing reality. Otherwise, you kick them to the curb when you're either on your phone or worried about the future or regretting something from the past, meaning being in your mind. So there are some basic things, and there are, you know, grounding meditations, things to just get people comfortable, to get started seeing life through. When you take your dog for a walk, notice what your dog notices. You know, dogs can be absolute masters of mindfulness, teaching us, as Mr. T says, you know, that it's about getting the joy in the millions of moments, the small moments in your life. Not those big moments, he said, that are bookmarks, but they don't tell the story of your life. So our pets, our dogs in particular, really teach us to use our senses, you know, tuning in to all this beauty around us. And you'll find yourself getting really much calmer when you do that because you've gotten out of that jail that rests between your left ear and your right ear.
Well, yeah, and then you find a when you're in that place, as you pointed out earlier, I think it's easier for you to love yourself and appreciate yourself when you're in that place of quiet and connecting with your dog. And as you said, getting in touch with their senses. In one of my talks about connecting with animals, I talk about taking a walk with Tristan and trying to see the world from his view 8 inches off of the ground because he's a small, small corgi. And I did not notice on this, like, 12-foot cliff face sort of in the trees here that we have chipmunk condos full of lots of chipmunks. And there's holes there, but I didn't see all the little noses peeping out and the little tails until I just stopped and looked why he was looking over there. And there's just like chipmunk wonderland. And I've walked that road a couple of months before I ever noticed the chipmunks.
Wow. Oh, that's a perfect example. I love that. Chipmunk condos. You know, and then there's even with the wild animals around us, and I always tell people to try this with squirrels because squirrels are, you know, our neighborhood buddies. They are so close to us that some have even come through. They take names for themselves because they hear them in our heads, and they go, okay, I will now be Monty from now on. Not all of them, but some.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, most of them, of course, run away because they read our thoughts, and our thoughts tend to be not so pretty. But for the ones that may linger on a tree, you can try this squirrel experiment where, not with your mouth, but with your mind, you say good morning or good afternoon. It's lovely to see you. I hope you have a beautiful day. And again, you can't be like, okay, hurry up. It is about patience. When you are trying to connect with animals, Rome wasn't built in a day. Let them get used to you, you know. Bring your vibration to a peaceful place. So you may have to try this a few times if you're very, you know, high energy or your mind is very distracted. But I'm telling you, when you say this, the squirrels, this is what they did with me. They just stopped and hung off the tree, staring in amazement, like, you can hear me. And they're just transfixed for like 10, 15 minutes without even moving because someone actually focused their thoughts, you know, focused their mind to them. And I even asked the squirrels, I said, how come I can't understand everything you're saying when I hear the words? He said, we have to angle our minds toward you. We save the body movements and the vocalizations for each other. You know, only the thought stream is the one place that you can meet us.
Right.
So,
well, I think it's interesting that you have this squirrel experiment for people because we are caught in our minds and we're busy. And I think a lot of us perceive squirrels as being sort of busy and running around and, you know, not really conscious in the way that we might see a horse or some bigger, slow-moving animal like a cow. So I think that's an aspect, too. Do you have anything to say about that?
Yes, I do, actually, because what they say is, you know, they keep the squirrels, too. They're like, you need to slow down. I said, well, you move fast. He said, we don't get ourselves in as much trouble as you do. And it's also the needs of their body, and the birds say the same thing. You know, don't let, you know, our bodies need to move quickly. That's no reflection of our consciousness. So, you know, just if a squirrel doesn't come and take a nut from your hands, it doesn't mean they don't trust you. You know, they move quickly also as a matter, yes, metabolically they need to do that. They usually need to stay out of trouble, you know, away from rolling cars, for example. So don't mistake the movements of the body for what they perceive.
Well, we are all out of time, and it has been fascinating talking to my friend Sandra Mendelson, who is an animal channel. And until next week, thanks so much for listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets. Sorry. And this is Sally Morgan, a holistic physical therapist for pets and people, and Dr. Judy Morgan's sister. And we will be back on DreamVision7Radio.com. And don't forget to look for us on Monday, 7 in the morning, 7 in the evening, Tuesday, 7 in the morning, 7 in the evening, Eastern Standard Time on DreamVision7.com. Thanks for joining us today, and thank you, Sandra.
Thank you.
That's all for today. Find more answers to your questions next time on Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets, every Monday and Tuesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time by going to DreamVision7Radio.com. Join holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy to discover healthy options for raising your pets in a more holistic manner. Visit DrJudyMorgan.com to learn more.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.